Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. This is actually the season premiere of Under the Radar. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by David Griggs and Zach back with us as well, or at least a picture of a Husky lying there. That must be, who's a Husky? Northern Illinois? Is that what that is?
Yeah. No, it's...
it's the Mid-American Conference logo.
Mid-American Conference?
It's actually Michigan Tech.
Oh, Michigan, oh, okay. Michigan Tech. It's not the Trinity Christian Trolls, though, that we know.
No, yeah.
I'm Chad Sherwood. We've got David Griggs, Zach with us. This is our Under the Radar podcast, where we discuss everything outside of the 10 top-rated leagues, the 10 multi-bid conferences. David, do you want to explain that a little better?
Yeah, okay. So there are 10 what we call on the radar conferences, and it's 10 multi-bid leagues. It's the Power Five, which is the Big 10, Big 12, Pac-12, SEC, and ACC. There's five additional regular multi-bid leagues. That's the West Coast Conference, the Atlantic 10, the American, the Mountain West. And why do I always forget one?
West Coast.
Oh, Big East.
Big East.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. These are not those leagues. There is another disqualifier. Nobody meets that disqualification at the moment. It would be any team from these 22 conferences that has cracked one of the polls. No one has. We do think that before the end of the year, there's going to be one, maybe two, maybe even three that do. We'll get into that. But right now, it's just a whip around of the 22 under the radar conferences.
Yeah, that's what it is. I've always wondered what since we could bring teams up off of under the radar, why don't we ever bring teams down? I mean, I really think we should. I think we should do a section on just Fordham and these shows one of these days. But
I do wonder about, like, could you look at the? I know that's not the way the rankings work, but honestly, can you take Fordham out of the A-10 stuff and just see what happens? And to that degree, the A-10 is going to try and do that with what they announced, the news they announced yesterday, as the 10th on KenPom, the 10th rated conference, the Atlantic 10, gets to upgrade by taking the best brand out of the 11th rated conference, the Missouri Valley.
Yes, Loyola Chicago for next year joining the A-10. The Missouri Valley is already rumored to be looking at schools like Murray State, Texas Arlington, and for some odd reason, the Kansas City Ruse to replace them.
What's wrong with the Ruse?
We love the Ruse. This was a team
the Ruse are having a hell of a week.
Yeah. They are, but they practically got thrown out of the WAC a few years ago, and now suddenly they're talking about being all the way up to the Missouri Valley. So I don't know how that happened so fast. Anyhow, I guess what we're going to do here is, if I can figure out how to do the screen share, which I could not do the other night, I'm going to go ahead and what we're going to do is start with a feature conference every night.
We do the feature. There's 18 weeks, 22 feature conference. So how do you decide which four get crapped
at the end of the season? A few just will not get featured. One that I want to make certain get featured has two very big storylines this week, and it's one I don't think we've ever featured as our premier conference of the entire season. But let's start there because we have Mr. Bad Basketball Zach with us as it is. Let's start things off in the MEAC. A couple notes here on the MEAC before we go any further. Number one, our friend Rocco Miller wanted to point this out. Howard, the number one three-point shooting team in the nation, is in this conference off of their 3-0 start before they finally lost a game the other night to Villanova by 19 points, which was...
They actually played fairly well in that game. And I don't mean that as a backhanded comment. They did.
But they won in Peoria. They won at Bradley. I mean, that is a hell of a win for Howard for a program that they only played, five games last year, I think, before they shut things down?
Yeah. And they had the best player they've ever had come in, maker, and it was going to be awesome in terms of the impact it was going to have off the court for that program. And then, I mean, he got hurt, and it was a weird year anyway. So I am rooting for Howard just on principle. Just before we started recording, we mentioned how they are getting a home game this year with Notre Dame. Notre Dame, that was supposed to happen last year before Howard shut down. And I give Notre Dame a lot of credit. They're still going to go there this year. They're going to hold up they're still going to, honor that. And the thing about the MEAC that's fun is it terrible basketball? Some might say that. I would not. Do they currently have five of their eight teams 347 or worse in adjusted KenPom offense? Yes, maybe they do. But they run up and down the court. It's usually after missed shots, but the tempo in this league is tremendous right now.
Great tempos. Look at that. 8, 23, 15, 63, 81. Hey, it's fun basketball, right?
If you like, the playground, well, this is for you. It's up and down and quick releases. And
as Zach, I'll throw another BX stat at you. This one comes from our friend John Titel. Norfolk State, the only team in the nation that was in the NCAA tournament last year, that is currently 4-0.
I mean, they are. That is accurate. It is because they have played. They played four games in a week.
They play Penn State Wilkes-Barre, yeah. And they play.
I knew Penn State existed. I knew Wilkes-Barre existed. I did not know there was a Penn State Wilkes-Barre. So I give them credit for that. But no, the impressive thing is they got William and Mary to play them at home, and that's something we're starting to see. And this is interesting: is that Norfolk State, a MEAC team, they have had three home games in the last week. That one of the nice things about we see conferences starting to talk about equity. Especially towards the MEAC and the SWAC, is you're starting to see a lot of these programs are actually able to get home games. Now, look, it's William & Mary and two non-NCAA Division I teams. But in the coming years, my hope is that some of these MEAC schools get to play more than one home game against a D1 team before January. I think that's the least that the freaking membership can do.
Hey, here's another shout-out.
If
William & Mary.
Look at Coppin State. They got Loyola at home tonight. Loyola Maryland at home. So there's another D1 home game they got.
What Zach said, if you're new to the show, is not hyperbole. And if you're watching this, you're probably such a basketball junkie, you know that. But it is not unusual. In fact, it is normal for these teams, this conference and the SWAC, to only play one out-of-conference home game before the month of January.
Here comes a few more. Look at the schedule here for next week. We see Delaware State gets a home game against Wilmington.
They'll win that.
South Carolina State has South Carolina Upstate coming in. So there's a couple of D1 home games coming up even this next week. They played
19 of their first 21 games on the road.
Yeah.
I know why they're doing it. And they had a turnaround last week that as a UConn guy, was embarrassing in that they played at Rider in North Jersey Friday night and had a noon Saturday tip at the XL Center against UConn. I mean, there has to be a better way for this sport to support, you know, these institutions that are vitally important in their communities. I'm not saying that Duke's got to go play there, but like the stuff we mentioned, that Loyola, like NEC and American East teams, like, come on. Yeah, you're playing at the MEAC. Okay, where do you get off thinking that it's below you? Need a drastic reevaluation of your lot in life for some of these leagues that we talk about on this show. And conference realignment has highlighted that with seeing, like, you know, who leagues go after and stuff. And realizing that, really, I'm pretty sure none of them know what they're doing. Go none play some MEAC road games, please. Fordham, go play at a MEAC school, please.
Look at this Coppin State. Six games already, which leads the entire nation. Three more coming up every other day here coming up the rest of this week here. At Virginia, at Cleveland, at Canisius. I think Coppin State, what did we say? They're going to have like 19 games by January 1st or something ridiculous. It's crazy.
And 17 of them are away from home.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, that is the MEAC preview. Let's go ahead and go through the rest of the conferences. We'll run through them in order here. We'll start all the way back at the America East, which Zach is one of your favorite conferences, where we saw a huge win by Lowell tonight over Central Connecticut.
Look, Central Connecticut, who is horrendous and the light of my life as well. They gave NC State all they could handle the other night at Mohegan Sun after, you know, getting their doors blown off by UConn. And you think, okay, you know, they can build off of that against UMass Lowell. No, they can't. It's a whole new administration at basketball at Central. They got a lot of issues. Tonight did not go well for them.
But Zach, what about Lowell? Lowell won at Dayton.
Do you want to make that about Lowell or do you want to make that about Dayton? I mean, Dayton is, God, poor Dayton. God.
Anyway,
Dayton's bad, like bad, like Fordham bad.
Not a whole lot of D1 wins here, but what about the Catamounts going to Northern Iowa, mm-hmm. getting not an easy place to play at all. Northern Iowa right now tied at Arkansas, a top 25 team as we record this, and taking Maryland, who lost tonight, kind of to the wall in their game. Do the Catamounts have something?
I think so. You know, it's early, but the results would certainly indicate that. And that Northern Iowa win is as good of a non-conference win as the league has had Well, I mean, look, it depends on what you want to count. I forgot Merrimack's in the NEC. I'm so used to thinking of Lowell and Merrimack being in the same hockey league. I was going to say Merrimack's win at Northwestern 2 years ago is better than any America East non-conference win I can remember off the top of my head. Since obviously UMBC,
that would be relevant if that were an American East team.
UMBC right. had a pretty good win.
UMBC had a pretty good one. But all seriousness, the win at Northern Iowa was as good a win as they've had since the biggest upset in the history of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah,
and it's another year where I mean it's clearly going to be I think Vermont at the top of the league, and the question eternally. Is you know at large bid. I don't think an America East team can do it. Can get an at large bid. But this is a league that I can't remember the last time they were rated. They're 25th in the KenPom conference rankings. America East, as much as I love it, is usually not quite up there. So it's a league that's trending in largely the right direction, despite the fact that their defending league champion has been sabotaged by their own administration.
Yes,
as a result. A team that should be good this year. Well, not surprisingly, everybody transferred out. They're Hartford's 0-3. That's elite. The league should have been able to build off of Hartford and Vermont and make some headway going forward. In addition to UMBC being on the come up, Albany, you expect more things from them long-term, but now Hartford's leaving. And so once again, the burden falls on Vermont as it has for these many years to carry this league. But in the past, they at least had a BU to play off of. They had UMBC. Now, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, Stony Brook is where I think it goes for now, but I don't know how long Stony Brook's in the league. That is an incredibly ambitious athletic department. Vermont is perfectly content in America East, and I mean, it's the only place for them to go, really. Yeah. But it's a big week for this league. Stony Brook's at Kansas tomorrow and New Hampshire at Providence. Look, UNH is always bad. But they've shown in the past they can hang around in these sort of games. But I mean, Providence, I think a lot more of them after what they did earlier this week. But we can't talk about that on this show.
Yeah, you know, for Vermont,
somebody's team, microwave is going on.
Dave, actually, I like to look Vermont. A couple sneaky good games with Yale and Oakland this week too. You know, kind of look circling those games as
yeah, and they got the exempt tournament coming up as you got there next week, I think. So
well, they got Oakland as the first game of that, and then they got either Rice or Evansville, and then Akron, Fordham, App State, or Delaware in the final. So it's a winnable exempt tournament.
Yeah, it is. And Oakland made a big splash, winning at Oklahoma State. We'll get to that when we get to. What league are they in now? Oh, the Horizon.
Yeah. Horizon.
Well, let's for Vermont, those are the kind of games, that's how you get out of a play-in scenario.
Oh, they'll be way in front of that.
I know, but it's the sort of thing that guarantees if you're in, you don't have to worry about that. And it's always interesting to see how that's what Vermont wants. I'm sure America East would love to have, you know, an extra credit going their way from a play-in game. But Vermont's going to have a strong strength of schedule, and that's really going to help them out.
As we see in the column there on the right-hand column is games in blue are teams or games that were won by teams of the conference and red are losses. Going to the A-Sun, David, we are seeing a ton of red. It was, you know, every team in this conference already picked up a loss to start the season. And, I don't even know what to say about the A-Sun at this point other than.
Well,
you know,
there is one team. Well, two teams. One, Liberty's loss at who beat them?
Like, LSU. Was it?
Yeah, LSU. They were in that game for about 30 minutes, and that's not a game that you would expect them to win, but that you think that maybe they have a chance to, and I thought that they played pretty well. Liberty's got something this year, and how about Lipscomb going out? They just blasted Dayton tonight. I think that those two, it kind of stinks they're not in the same division because I think they're just going to run away from everybody else looking not just bad but really bad. But those two teams are good.
Yeah. And also a shout out to it on this screen. It was really cool. I thought last night, the scene that we got down at Alico Arena with USC and Andy Enfield going back to Florida Gulf Coast. I thought that was so neat that they did that. They agreed to do that. And I mean, Florida Gulf Coast couldn't really hang in there with a very talented USC team, but credit to USC for taking that game on, going cross country to do it as well.
The upcoming schedule here. North Florida's got to be at UCLA later tonight after we record this. I don't think they have much shot at that game.
I think, what was it, 38 and a half? I saw that might be a tough one. I'll be honest.
Yeah. Now, coming up on Friday and Saturday, it is, I believe they're playing these games out in Orlando, the MAC A-Sun Challenge.
Yes.
Liberty Iona, North Alabama, Manhattan are the Friday matchups. Then the Saturday games are Liberty Manhattan and North Alabama Iona. Actually, that Liberty Iona game on Friday night, though, is actually worth circling big time.
Yeah. That's gonna be fun to watch. And I want to confirm your worst kept fears that when I saw this was a thing, yes, I got giddy. I thought this was very much up my alley. And it's cool to see these conferences getting together for it as an idea. And they're doing it on the women's side as well. And, you know, this right now, I mean, it's like two men's and two women's teams. But hopefully they can branch this out in the future. The fact that they're doing it on a neutral site, I think, is odd. But I would like to see them actually do exchange home and home.
I believe it did start 2 years ago. I think they played it 2 years ago. It got canceled last year with COVID, but I believe it was played once before already. So this is
okay. It would be nice to see it more than I get kind of why. Like, look, as much as I love the idea of the A-Sun MAC challenge, I don't think when you get eight deep, you're really getting great stuff.
No, you're getting amazing stuff. That's the stuff that you have to pay extra for.
I really need that Canisius Central Arkansas game, Derek. Yeah.
No, nobody.
Chad, real quick, I got to point this out because I know we got to move on. A bit of an oddity in college basketball, and you kind of had to like know it was coming to know it was there. Bellarmine at Gonzaga, and then about 48 hours later at UCLA, playing the top two teams on the road in that short of a time frame.
I don't know if that game is at UCLA. That's part of an event. Round robin event. I think it is on the West Coast, though.
Oh, is that the one in Phoenix?
The Bellarmine UCLA, because then they play Central Michigan Tuesday as part of that event.
I assure you, it's not at Bellarmine, though. So it's not Louisville. So
it's definitely somewhere on the West Coast, though. That's why they're playing. That's why they scheduled the Gonzaga game on the way out there. So
Still crazy that they're playing the top two teams back to back.
they are. Thank you.
As an ineligible team, like what the hell? It doesn't matter anyway. You know.
Good point. They're getting paid.
All right. Let's keep rolling things along here. David, one of your favorite conferences, the Big Sky Conference with Idaho beat George Fox.
Yeah. Colorado went on the road and won at Hawaii. Yeah. And, you know, that's not exactly like a bus trip. So, a semi-impressive win there. And NoCo might have something they have. They actually play tonight. But, yeah, this one's hurting. Washington should have been good, but they're not.
You've only got four D1 wins. Two of them belong to Northern Colorado, but Northern Colorado lost to Hawaii Hilo also.
What a loss. Oh, what a loss it was as well. Up four with a second to go. I give them credit. That's impressive.
It was the foul up four play. It was honestly, like, that should be a total disqualifier.
And then they lost in overtime. Yeah, it was, I guess one of the shout-out, though, to Idaho, actually. They opened their new building. Yep. Very ICCU. Impressive building. Beautiful building.
Yeah,
ICCU Arena. It's all made of wood, and it means that they are no longer playing in a football arena with a curtain. I agree. This is an outrage. Everything you believe in. It's a beautiful-looking building. So,
but no curtain.
Go ahead.
No, what can I say? I'm too broken up over the lack of a curtain here.
And look what we got tomorrow.
The upcoming schedule tomorrow features Weber State, probably the best team in the league, playing. I mean, if you can figure UMass out, America, good luck. And they're playing them in Florida at Eckerd College. I think it's a tournament. But that game, if available anywhere, could be fascinating to watch because I have absolutely no idea what UMass is.
David, we've got to bring it back real quickly. Another game caught up Thursday night. I think we've got to go to the hoopshd.com rivalry tracker.
Here. Yes, we do.
Because we got Washington State.
Yes.
And they're at Idaho.
Yeah, they're at Idaho.
Which is they're going to help open the arena.
Yes.
And there they are, 8 miles apart. They've never been in the NCAA tournament.
Yes. And it rounds up to eight. Like we did it. I think it's actually 7.6. It's not quite eight, but it rounds up to eight. Those two schools 8 miles apart, and they've never met in the NCAA tournament. And that's just quite a unique distinction. I mean, there isn't really any other – there's lots of good rivalries in college basketball, but none can really boast that.
I don't think they can.
And none are as heated as that.
No, no, not at all.
Yeah, that game, is that on like the main ESPN or maybe ABC or something like that?
It better be on Pluto. Ooh. And they better show the four sweepers.
It's the sort of game where you want to buy out part of a league's broadcast contract to make sure you get the rights to it for all time on its own.
Yeah. Actually, very disappointed for Big Sky fans. No more Pluto TV this year. ESPN does have the ESPN Plus now for
what? Oh,
let's jump over to the Big South Conference, another conference with divisions here. David,
nice
I don't
to see know. Everyone's eligible. That's an improvement.
Everyone's eligible. I actually got to give a shout out to Fred.
This
trip. The Presbyterian picked up a couple wins, including beating the Citadel team that went and blew out Pitt. So, hey, that's got to count for something, right?
Yeah.
Not really.
Campbell had a big week.
It's just, and I look, no disrespect to the Blue Hose. Do what you got to do. But it is a rough watch. It is a rough watch. It's a lot of overtime. I give them credit. Look, if you hold VMI to 72 points, you are, I mean, you're taking the leather off the ball. Forget about taking the air out of it. They are one of the slowest teams in the country, but it has them at 2-1. So
you know what? They play VMI and they played Citadel, two of the fastest teams in the country back to back, held them both under 73 points. That's impressive.
And they got them to play. They were able to impose their style on them, which is a really good sign for them. It's unwatchable, but the fact that they were able to slow down two of the teams that nobody ever usually slows down, because usually when they play a good team, VMI, it just, you know, they love it. They went in there and they were able to impose on VMI and Citadel a slow pace and get wins that the likes of which they really haven't had in their Division I history, actually.
Yeah. How about the Camels? You know, a fairly decent win against Hartford, who's transitioning down, but staying with Duke, it forcing Chad to actually watch the game for a little bit.
Yes, they were in that Duke game until about the 10 minutes left in the game. It was a lot more than I expected out of them. So,
yeah.
Campbell makes Presbyterian look like 1990 LMU. I mean, speaking of luck, good Lord. But it's what you got to do when you don't have the players these teams have looking ahead. I mean, Dave, Campbell, Marshall, that's interesting. Presbyterian Cincinnati, that's interesting. This is a big week for this league. I think one of those two wins.
This league is getting paid this week. I don't think.
I kind of like the Radford-Furman game on Friday might be worth watching. We like this Furman team. I don't know that Radford is historically normally pretty good. I think they're a bit of a down year. And you got to give a shout out to Gardner Webb. They're going to be hosting Carver Bible College on Saturday, one of our new favorite schools with only 19 D1 games on their schedule this season.
Carver Bible College. Remember Open Bible? Are they the same?
No, they're not the same. I swear to God, Carver Bible is going to be leading or tied in one of these games, the under four. And we are going to freak the hell out.
Yes,
I'm going to lose my mind.
So Carver Bible College, our new adopted team.
Them and the Trinity Christian Trolls, absolutely.
Can Winthrop win at Vandy?
No.
Well, yes.
Yes, they can. At Vandy, yes.
I don't think they will. I think Vandy's much improved. I still think Winthrop could beat them, though.
Can we talk about the world's greatest second-year transitional team in UC San Diego, the Tritons, who are now 3-0? I didn't even really have a first transitional year because it was COVID year. They've won at Cal. They beat George Washington. They beat San Diego Christian. That's a local rivalry.
Game.
Are we on the UC San Diego bandwagon here yet?
Well, Cal is awful and GW is awful. I think they've successfully identified really bad non-under-the-radar teams in one, which is good for growing their profile. Now, in the grand scheme of things, yes, I love what they're doing. And I think they are going to be, like a lot of recent transitional teams, very competitive right away, even to the point to where they're ready to be competitive now. I've said it. Have I ever said before that I think it should be a 2-year transition instead of a 4-year? Maybe a few thousand times.
I mean, you say a lot of things.
Yeah, but I'm on the bandwagon.
Yeah, and the other thing is it's one of the largest UCs in the system. I mean, if you just take a second, San Diego, it makes sense. It's a school with a huge enrollment, a lot of financial backing. And the difference is when we see these schools coming up now, it's not like, you know, of the 340 teams that were in D1 10 years ago, like 300 of them have just always been there. The schools that are going up now, like these are schools that aren't just like along for the ride. It's a big investment. It's a big plan. Yeah. So these are schools that are like going in eyes wide open and are fully committed. Like
they are
Bellarmine or UC San Diego versus, you know,
in Cal Grand Poly, Canyon.
Yeah. Cal Poly or Eastern Illinois. Like which one of them do you think is really just showing up every day? And which one of them is really putting effort into planning this? It just makes sense.
Zach, that is a great point. Like, look at a lot of the success that recent transitional programs have had. Florida Gulf Coast, Grand Canyon, Abilene Christian going to the round of 32 last year. What Zach said is spot on with these recent transitional programs.
They're all very targeted, specific types of school. They're usually in large metro areas, or they just have insanely large student bases where they're just looking to get 2% of the students to care.
Yeah.
Or conversely, have gotten insane base for, unfortunately, student fees to prop the whole boondoggle up in the first place. But UC San Diego, an incredible start to D1 for them. They are ineligible, but you guys can clarify for me. They're going to be – are they eligible to play in the Big West tournament at least?
I don't know about the Big West. They can play in the CIT.
They are eligible for the CIT. I think the Big West is not letting them in still.
Maybe they'll play in the Colonial tournament in James
Madison. Yeah, no, the Big West is not, they're not playing in the Big West tournament this year. One other team that I want to quickly throw up before we move on to the next conference, UC Davis. It's not even on the screen because it was opening night. They won at Utah State. They also picked up a home win over Eastern Washington. It was in the NCAA tournament last year. Real good start. They only played two games, but I'm impressed by the first 2 days games for UC Davis.
Yeah, me too. A little disappointed in the Gauchos. I mean, I know it's early. I think they'll get it going, but
UC Davis will be at Pepperdine later tonight as we record this. Let's look at the other upcoming games here. Where's San Diego's next game is at Sac State. I don't know what else. There's a bunch of games.
They have a game coming up Thanksgiving week with one of my favorite non-D1 opponents, the Academy of Art.
Oh, so, that's a good one. Yes,
it definitely will be a beautiful matchup.
Okay, let's keep things moving around here because we're on pace to go about 4 hours on the show right now, so we gotta speed up a little bit. Colonial Athletic Association, James Madison off to a 3-0 start after their win against Eastern Kentucky in about five overtimes. Was it three overtimes last night?
It was three, yeah.
Sorry, I got mad because just thinking about what JMU is being subjected to.
Okay, yeah. You know what? I want to spend a few minutes on this, just a minute or two. I get James Madison. You can see that's there on the note at the very bottom of the screen. We even noted it here. James Madison is postseed eligible, but will not be allowed to participate in the Colonial Tournament because they've announced that they are leaving to go to the Sun Belt. I get it. It's not fair to these kids. However, James Madison was a member of the Colonial when Richmond left. They were a member of the Colonial when VCU left, and those teams were subject to the same rule, and James Madison voted to keep that rule in place when those teams were up. So you know what? The university knew about this rule. They voted in favor of it multiple times to screw over other teams in the past. Why shouldn't they have to pay the penalty now?
You're right, but the difference is I thought that was ridiculous when they did it those times, so I think it's ridiculous what's happening to them
but
now.
They should, somebody should have gotten in there and voted to get that rule out of there. It's a stupid rule by the Colonial, but you voted in favor of James Madison.
And it's a rule I've almost supported in the past as a bitter UConn guy, but it's a bad rule. It's not fair to the kids. Like, it's one thing for the basketball team. Like, really, the Colonial, congrats, you banned the JMU cross-country team.
Yeah,
and the VCU soccer team. Like, you want to talk about people who had no role in this getting screwed by the rule. It's actually worse for them than it is for the men's basketball team.
But it's all sports, as Zach just said. It's not just the championships. The other thing is VCU played. I don't remember when they announced they were leaving for the A-10, but they did play in the conference tournament that last year. And I remember wondering, did the conference let them – because they figured VCU had the best chance of earning additional units.
Maybe they did.
Or they paid more.
I also understand why James Madison, the Sun Belt, couldn't get together and made a handshake deal and said, okay, we'll announce this officially on June 1st.
Right.
That we're leaving on July 1st. Why do you have to announce it officially.
That's where I'm with Chad. For the school that was in this when this was happening, to think that it won't apply to them is real. It's very the Commonwealth of Virginia type thinking. My question becomes, JMU is right now the best team in this league. They have the strongest strength of schedule in America after, 10 days. Do you guys think they're going to have to obviously be an at-large team? Do you see a path for them to be able to do that?
There's always a path.
27-2?
Yeah, I mean, if they win 26 games, I don't think they're good enough to do that. I don't think they're good enough to win the league, to be honest. I like this Hofstra team.
And College of Charleston, who hung in with Carolina last night. Don't forget them.
Another problem for them is, they were going to have to win the Virginia game at home, but I don't know what the hell the value is going to be in that now. So
you get the Virginia at home, you've got maybe Wright State, and then maybe somebody like Missouri State in their tournament, the exempt tournament they've got coming up, but there isn't any powerful wins. They'd have to win on the strength of a very, very, very gaudy record.
It would need, you're talking 27, 28 wins.
I was going to say you're talking like 30 wins. Well, probably 27, 28, because you won't have the conference tournament to pick up a few wins.
Yeah.
Right.
The upcoming schedule here in the Colonial for this week. I don't know what else we're going to look at, but there it is on the screen real quick. So we could just kind of keep moving on here. Let's
off to Richmond. That's a good one if you're going to watch a game.
Elon, West Virginia could be interesting. Elon might be better than we think. West Virginia might be worse.
I think West Virginia is worse than we think, but we'll talk about that on a Monday night show. Right. I think. Yeah. Conference USA here. We've got a few teams off to good starts. Zach, UAB, impressive over Moorhead and Rhodes, whoever they are, Rhodes Scholars.
I've never heard of Moorhead State either. But good win for them. UAB is going to be they're trying to assert themselves as the bellwether in this league again that they were for many years. And then we've seen other schools move to that space, and we've seen other schools, such as including themselves, that will be moving out of this league.
Everyone's moving out of the last night.
I want to actually look a little farther down. I don't know if you guys saw the Miami FAU ending, but it was really, Miami hit a shot at the buzzer basically to steal one at FAU, what would have been a great program win for FAU and an absolutely devastating loss for the ACC, which has taken its fair share. That caught my eye. UTEP had, New Mexico State, that's. I'm just waiting for UTEP to get this thing going in the right direction again. It just feels like they're spinning their wheels. And New Mexico State was a perfect opportunity to beat what's usually a very solid team right in their own backyard. And that's a big rivalry game historically as well. And they couldn't get done. UTSA, it's hard to believe how bad they are.
Next year it will be a D1 game against Texas A&M Commerce. They're coming up into the Southland next season.
Yeah, it ain't this year. that's a pretty horrendous thing to have befallen them. I'm just trying to go through the list here. Marshall's still playing the high tempo, fun to watch. I don't know if they're, David, your pick to win the East. I tend to go with Middle Tennessee. I just trust the pedigree.
Really? It would have been Western Kentucky, but they have not looked good at all.
That's why I wanted to go Western Kentucky. We were picking them to win this four-team event that they would play with South Carolina, Minnesota, and Princeton. Instead, they went 0-2, and they lost it completely, fourth place. Horrendous job by Western Kentucky.
Yeah, losing the worst Big Ten and SEC team is an accomplishment. So I
So I'm absolutely not impressed with Western Kentucky, but let's take a quick look at the upcoming schedule in this conference. David, anything that really jumps out at you in a second here as this loads up? We'll take a second to load.
It takes a minute because it has to figure out who's in the league and who isn't in the league and who will be.
UAB
comes out of the side of Chad's computer.
UAB at South Carolina might be a decent road win. I don't think the Gamecocks. I don't think they're good at all. But it's one. It's interesting in the sense that they should win it. Western Kentucky, Memphis was one that I was really excited about. But now Memphis really good, a lot better than I thought they'd be. Everybody thought they'd be good. I didn't, but everybody else was right. They might just get blasted in that game.
Yeah, Louisiana Tech, it looks like their only game here I see on the screen is at Northwestern State. Let's go way, way down here. Maybe there's something way down. Really going down here, but there I see they're playing Louisiana Monroe. But I like Louisiana Tech a lot this year, but maybe a couple of weeks we see them play some good teams. Zach, I know you don't want to speak anything about the Horizon League, so I should just go right to David. Am I correct?
I love it and I adore it with all my heart, but I haven't really got any takeaways other than Oakland has got again a absolute gauntlet of a schedule, but what happens when you do that is you are eventually going to get one of those games, especially when you're as good as Oakland has been. That was a statement win for them. I don't know how huge of a win it is because we have to see what this Oklahoma State team is going to be given they can't make the tournament now, having been beautifully railroaded by their own administration intentionally as well. But a big week for them. I mean, Oakland winning at dominant at Toledo and the win at Oklahoma State, that's what caught my eye, really. But I will defer to David. He knows the league better.
Yeah, no, I mean, Oakland certainly off to the best start. I really like this Cleveland State team, even though they're 0-2. I don't think either loss is all that surprising or discouraging. It would have been nice to see them get one, but they're just going through the paychecks really early on. Well,
they played home against Ohio, and I like Ohio better, but they were blown out of the building by Ohio U, and that
Ohio's good. Oh, Ohio's good.
But to be blown out at home by Ohio – by a MAC team.
Bit of business to discuss with this league before you go on, but sorry, I cut you off, but I'm so excited.
Go ahead.
What is
the Jaguars are on the horizon. They see the Centenary Award. They have, they have a dream because that is a really bad team. IUPUI.
I'll tell you what, Zach, coming up next Tuesday, we have a real test for IUPUI and winning the Centenary. They are hosting Spalding at home. If they lose that game, they may clinch it right now.
Hey, dare to be great. Dare to be great, Jaguars. I don't know what that means in this context. It can't be good. But on the serious side, I mean, Friday, Oakland at Alabama, it's a huge ask for Oakland. I don't have very big expectations. But if you're looking for a deep sleeper game that could be a lot of fun, that one has piqued my interest.
I'm also keep an eye on Milwaukee, obviously, with Baldwin Jr. there, the coach's son, five-star recruit. And you've got – I may want to also keep a look at this Detroit Mercy at Louisville game on Saturday. Always a fun team to watch.
Why would – okay, yeah, that's going to be –
it's more a statement on Louisville than Detroit. Yeah. but you mentioned – I mean, Florida getting ranked, it would be very Mike White for them to drop again to Milwaukee. That is a live possibility. It's an excellent call by you. That would totally fit the way Florida has gone in recent years. They have so much positive momentum. And then here come the Panthers. Also, you know, IPFW at Minnesota. Also
it's
a lot
PFW. Of possibility. It's sorry, PFW.
PFW. Yes, no I anymore. Get rid of the I.
Yeah.
Let's try to move a little bit quicker. We've got a lot more to get to, so I want to try to get these done a little quicker. But the Ivy League, we're welcoming them back after no Ivy League last season. Cornell off to the 3-0 start to lead the way so far. I guess that's what we're looking at here in terms of this conference.
Dartmouth had a big win.
I mean, I make it more about Georgetown. Dartmouth hasn't played in 18 months, and they just blew the doors off of the Hoyas.
Yes.
It was incredibly impressive by Dartmouth. But that was amazing. That was amazing. Yale beat the pants off of UMass. It was really, in both cases.
And Brown was right there with Carolina that whole game.
Yep.
Yeah, Brown was. I like this Brown team. They're my team. I mean, they're the team I'm picking to win it all. But sort of a welcome back splash with those. And Princeton doing real well down in that tournament.
Yep. And also, it's not just that they haven't played in 2 years, but these programs got decimated in transfers because of not playing last year. And for all these programs to immediately bounce back, I'm starting to think they might have some money behind these programs. I got to be honest.
It was brilliant. It was brilliant tactics. They made themselves very difficult to scout.
I'll tell you what, though, the Harvard team that has been a force here in the Ivy for many years now was unimpressive in winning at Albany tonight. I don't think this is a very good Albany team at all, and they almost lost that game tonight. So
yeah,
I'm a little suspect on Harvard inside. I thought their bigs would be really good this year, but they've had a lot more trouble UConn played them in a scrimmage and killed them on the inside, apparently, and they've struggled this year. Long term, I still like Harvard a lot, though.
I see a lot of winnable games upcoming this week here from this conference, honestly. I see Cornell at Penn State. I see Yale at Vermont. Could be a good one. I see Princeton at Oregon State. Princeton at Oregon State. Brown, Creighton. Even Penn, Utah State tomorrow night. There's games here to be watched.
Brown, Creighton, that's a big ask. But, like, Creighton better not sleep on them.
Yeah, we'll know pretty quick whether or not we have to really worry about Harvard. Because if they don't beat the pants off of MIT and Siena, who's not that great.
Siena's terrible.
And then Colgate's not that great, but – like Harvard's got to get into gear quick because this is a tougher league than everyone thought it was going to be, I think.
Yeah.
The Metro Atlantic Conference, whatever you think about Rick, don't think about Rick Pitino. I think he's a real good Iona team this year.
Yeah,
he does.
Yeah, well, no, they're vastly better than the rest of the league. They are capital L legit. Rick Pitino is absolutely determined to burn the NCAA to the ground, and he's got a team that he thinks can do it.
He's burning the Metro Land to the ground this year, I'll tell you that.
He really is. This team, I already want to put futures on them to win a game in March. I mean, they really are playing. I know I was as tough on Clues as anyone, but when Clues' stuff was working, this is that on steroids. Like the tempo is so incredible to watch. The offensive movement's great. And yeah, they don't give a damn. It's great.
It's almost a shame, David, about Iona being so good because if Iona wasn't this incredible team this year, we'd have an amazing conference, I think, between Manhattan, Rider, St. Peter's, even Marist in there this season.
Yeah. A lot of good storylines and this is kind of a fun league. It's one of our favorites, but I think it's going to be a one horse race with everybody else running for second. And then maybe trying to knock them off in the conference tournament. But I got to ask the question, is Iona good enough to get onto the bubble or even inside of it?
Yeah, I think so.
You think so?
Okay. I think that's a good moment.
I think you're right.
I'll go to the right-hand side here. We had James Madison there on the left. Let's pull Iona's entire schedule up here.
Yeah. I will say, I don't think Rick Pitino is going to get much of the benefit of the doubt. So the NCAA love it. But it is the league, by the way, where 2 through 9, are a coin toss.
One to two is a
chasm.
But now that they're going to be playing that in that event, I believe this event down in Orlando, they start with Alabama, then they're going to either Belmont or Drake, or both very good teams. They could get Kansas in the championship game there. They've got the game against Liberty coming up. They've got a game against Yale. They got Seton Hall. They've got the chances here to pick up the wins.
Yeah, they do.
Way more than James Madison on the left there.
And they don't even need them all. They just need like maybe a couple of them. And then if they hold serve in conference, which they should, they'll be there.
They should lose a single game in conference.
And if you want to know where I'm getting that from, go back and listen to the podcast with Tom Burnett.
Mid-American Conference. This is a league where David, Ohio, we already talked a little about Cleveland State and how Ohio blew them out of the water. This Ohio team, very impressive so far.
Very impressive. Miami, Ohio off to kind of a surprising 3-0 start, but they've been playing it. I'm big on this Ohio U team. They got a huge game coming up against Kentucky this week. I think that they might be swinging over their heads a little bit in that one, but I also think that it's one of those games that when you watch it, if you watch it, you're going to be like, oh man, that team's good. They didn't win, but wow. Akron, their 1D1 game, the near upset of Ohio State, I think they've got a lot this year too.
And shout out to the Fighting Earl Boykins, Eastern Michigan. I thought they played Indiana really tough and then had a very entertaining double OT win against Illinois State.
Little fact of that's the first time that they had topped the century mark, I think, in like 20 years in a game, Eastern Michigan. That was,
They've still been celebrating the Earl Boykins team. Like they're still hungover from that. So maybe there's positive momentum there. It's very early, but the returns are positive this year so far for them. And, Saturday's going to be tough for them at Michigan State.
We got to talk about Buffalo too. I think this league has it. We talk about getting a team inside the bubble. I think that we're going to see one from this league, especially if one of those three runs away from it.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm as high Buffalo as you are, but you know, they've only played two games so far. Interesting home game against a half decent Ryder team, not a great Ryder team. They blow them out of the water. That's what they need to do. They get Stephen F. Austin coming up next week. So I don't know when they're going to get the big test that Ohio is going to get, for example, with Kentucky and coming up this week. But let's see. We already talked. Yeah, let's jump over to the Missouri Valley Conference. The probably one. Maybe after the Big Ten, the most disappointing conference of the country so far. But
potentially, yes.
They're having a bad week.
Yeah.
Not on the screen there, by the way. Northern Iowa did lose that game at Arkansas, by the way, as well. So it's not on the screen yet. But
and that I think they had like 8 or 9 lead changes in the first half. Northern Iowa was ahead in for much of the second half, but Arkansas got control at the end. They don't have the resume to prove it, but tonight's the first time in a long time that they looked like the team from 2 years ago when they had all those players that are all now back after being injured. So hopefully for their sake, they kick it in the gear. But other than that, they've been disappointing. Missouri State with a disappointing loss. Drake and Loyola Chicago have been pulling their weight at least, but they haven't really had any tests either.
I'm sorry. Drake played a non-D1 game in South Dakota. Drake hasn't done anything yet.
They haven't done anything disappointing either. But this was a league that we thought, and we did, or I did, that they could get 3, maybe 4 teams inside the bubble. I'm starting to think it's going to be 2.
I still think Loyola looked really good. The way they pounded Loyola Chicago pounded that undefeated Chicago State team.
I think Loyola Chicago and Drake are legit top 40 good.
Yeah. Richmond at Drake on Saturday. We already mentioned it earlier. Game. Definitely circled that game though. That is a huge one coming up this weekend. Zach, let me bring you in here for one of our favorite conferences. I'm talking about Northeast Conference now.
Oh God.
Wagner, a little news out to them say as well. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been trying to, I love the league, but it's had better weeks, but the Wagner dominant win at VCU is I can't remember the last time, probably Wagner winning at UConn 4 years ago in terms of a statement win for them. So I think this is a situation where this might be kind of a MAC situation where Wagner really separates themselves at the top, but I don't think they're.
The news out of Wagner today was that the program's now going to be shut down for a couple of games because of too many.
The COVID outbreak.
So that's really disappointing coming off of that VCU game that suddenly we've got to shut them down. And who knows if they're out for a week or so, how they come back.
I'm sorry to admin on air. Can you pull up their nitty gritty sheet simply so we can take a look at what sort of, because this is the time of year when if you're a Wagner, these are the games that you can play that can try and help you in their case avoid a first four. And
they lost the St. Peter's game today, got postponed indefinitely is what they said. We'll see if it ever gets rescheduled. They'll probably lose that NJIT game.
And the Army game.
If it goes a full week, maybe or maybe not in the Army game.
Now if it gets to Seton Hall, they have bigger problems because that's another week later. Yeah. But they need the Seton Hall game to be on the resume and the Penn State test. So the question the St. Peter's game would be nice for their metrics, but isn't really a backbreaker. It's not like they're losing a road game against
the plan is to reschedule it.
Right. If they can.
And they're close enough. That should be easy to reschedule, actually.
They're physically close enough. It's just really hard often I actually, especially in the situation of St. Peter's Wagner, I don't think there's anything nefarious afoot. It's just literally hard to put the schedule together. So I hope they can get that game back. But, it's an impressive Wagner team so far. No bad losses. And the Hartford win isn't as impressive as it should have been 6 months ago.
but that is, let's take a look at what else is coming up. Again, we can cross off that Wagner game. The NJIT game is pretty much off. If it's not officially off yet, it will be off.
St. Francis of Virginia Tech, I don't think is a big deal. I don't think St. Francis is that great, maybe.
Mount St. Mary's, Robert Morris, a little old school NEC non-conference game now.
It's great to see that. And of course, a nutmeg rivalry, Fairfield Sacred Heart. that's the big one.
Yeah.
Hartford at Merrimack in the Ships Passing in the Night matchup there.
Dave, let's go, let's go on to the Ohio Valley Conference. With Murray State after the 3-0 start, but Belmont actually was very impressive. Picked up the win over Furman to get to 2-1.
Yeah, that was a really good
to Ohio. So yeah,
yeah, we'll talk about Furman here in a little bit. That was a really good game. They sort of Furman committing fouling a 3-point shooter with less than 10 seconds to go. Belmont goes to the line, hits all three, takes the momentum in the overtime and gets the win. A real nice win for them. You mentioned Murray off to a 3-0 start overall.
OVC, they've beat a couple of MVC teams. They beat Evansville. They won at Illinois State. So
yeah,
a little respect for Murray so far.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think that I thought that there were three teams in this league that were decent to good, with Belmont being really good, and then seven that were pitiful. I'm starting to now think it's 2-8, with Morehead State just not having a good week at all.
Yeah, SEMO, the only other team besides Belmont and Murray with a D1 win.
Morehead State, they took on two heavyweights, but the issue was they just did not look good at any point.
And SIU Edwardsville played an undefeated team, so you can't really hold it against them.
The upcoming schedule with fascinating games, such as Transylvania at Morehead State on Thursday, coming all the way over from Europe.
big Rye game. Yeah.
Once again, Carver Bible College appears on screen.
Yes. Who's Carver playing?
UT Martin.
Yeah.
I don't like their chances.
Actually, the game to circle Monday night, Belmont at LSU. This is a winnable game for Belmont.
It is. And that is that's the kind of game that really can put them inside the bubble. It's the kind of game that if you can get wins in games like that, the committee is going to take them. Last time we had an NCAA tournament that fans were allowed to attend, Belmont got in at large. They can do it again. It can happen.
Also,
I might watch Eastern Illinois Albany because I'm sick.
Check out Saturday, Austin Peay at Dayton. Austin Peay, despite being winless, should probably be favored in that game.
God, Dayton's so bad.
Oh, awful.
It's sad.
Let's jump right on over to the Patriot League. Zach, I got to throw back to you another one of these New England conferences. You love them.
Well, it's more Mid-Atlantic, really.
You got BU, you got Holy Cross, you got...
Yeah.
No, you do. I know. Honestly, I'm a little surprised. I kind of expected a little more from Navy. Admittedly, a very, very difficult schedule.
They won at Virginia.
Yeah.
You expected them to win at Virginia?
I don't think they're going to get their doors blown off by Virginia Tech and Louisville. Maybe one or the other.
I expected them to lose all three of those games.
I did too. And it turns out Virginia might not be very good. But so Navy, kind of fallen back on hard times in the last week, or back to earth. Army is interesting to watch because their metrics are going to be goosed up by the fact that they played Duke. I thought they comported themselves pretty well there for a while. They actually tend to, I don't know, I think Coach K just takes it easy on Duke when he plays them. They seem to play better there than you ever assume they will.
That is his album. He did go to Army, you know, so.
No, I know why. Okay. I'm aware of that. Cornell is a team I'm definitely keeping an eye on in this league. Colgate. Cornell would be interesting given they're not in this league.
I don't think Cornell's going to do well in this league.
I meant to say Colgate, but they lost to Cornell, which is a problem for the league's long-term prospects. Looking at the wins this week, I mean, they beat South Carolina State, not a big deal. Army beat Hartford, who is, again, institutionally sabotaging themselves. Rider's not any good. So the league really took it on the chin. You would have hoped for a better outcome from some of these games. Admittedly, big test. For American was on the other side of Georgetown getting blown out by Dartmouth. But still, I expect more from American in that game, especially with Georgetown looking so awful. And it really wasn't competitive.
And look at
Northeastern BU played one of the worst games
that we've played this
year, an affront to God. And they lost, which is worse, which would have been a good win for the league, honestly, to get Northeastern. BU couldn't pull it off. Looking ahead, I mean, SUNY Polytechnic. Navy Radford. I'm trying to find something interesting on here. Lafayette at Duke. I don't like their chances. Well,
how about Colgate Syracuse?
It's the, you know, the Boeheim battle, always well, interesting.
Well, but they're all the Bayhams play for Syracuse
now. I was gonna say, yeah, was this part of the deal? I mean, as if Syracuse wasn't gonna schedule Colgate at home, you know, without doing that. But yeah, Colgate, it's another opportunity for them against a big name to make some noise. It's a game they're capable of winning. I think Syracuse is middle of the road in the ACC, maybe higher by default at this point.
Zach, at the end of the day, I looked at the schedule.
That's enough, Patriots. Zach,
sorry. Other than the SUNY Polytechnic and Mount St. Vincent Holy Cross game, I don't see any Patriot League wins here. Let's just move
on. It's really bad. This might be the worst league been that I can remember.
Seriously. David, SoCon time. Let's talk about
a good conference. Yes, okay. You know, Furman is the big story. They got the win at Louisville. They appear to have Belmont beaten. And if you watch Under the Radar, you know this. Belmont likely won't lose a home game at all this year. So I don't want to say that was a bad loss. I will say that had they won that game, we'd probably be talking about them as a solid tournament team right now, without needing the auto bid. But Greensboro looking good, Chattanooga looking good.
I love this Chattanooga team this year. I think this is the team to watch. I like them better than Furman. I really do.
Do you really? I mean, I would have said that before the beginning of the year, but I thought those were two really, really good games that Furman played.
I think UNC Greensboro is fake at the moment. I don't think they're that good. You know, they beat Coppin State by 7 at home. That you got to do better than that against Coppin State.
Yeah.
Played like the day before.
Zach, look, we have Carver Bible College on the
other.
I'm trying to. The key, it's not just seeing them. It's do I see a win for them, and I like the chances more here.
The team that beat Pitt, I don't think they got any shot against the team that beat Pitt.
I mean, Chad, a lot of teams are going to beat Pitt.
Chattanooga at VCU, a winnable road game here for Chattanooga. We want to keep a look eye on that one. Navy Furman. There's actually a few interesting games here. How about the Citadel at Duke on Monday night?
The Citadel has already beaten an ACC team, and I think that they're going to go 1-1 against the ACC after this.
Well, hey, if you had said they're going to be 1-1 against ACC, that's pretty good, right? Maybe
Furman is possibly interesting. VMI Marist could be interesting just because I'm hoping this is actually a good Marist team for the first time in like 20 years. And is Marist good enough to be in the top half of the MAC, which is really dangerously high altitude for them? A good way to ensure it is if you can be a middle-of-the-road SoCon team in your place.
Hey, yeah, I know. I think Marist is that good. I think John Dunn was a great hire.
He was.
Yeah.
And the fact they steal someone from a conference rival too was a.
It was a stunning amount of competence from that administration. From what I've heard.
Southland Conference, the very small Southland Conference that it's getting a little bit smaller with Incarnate Word on their way out. But you know what? When Incarnate Word can't beat Concordia Austin last night, maybe they don't even want them in this conference anymore.
Yeah, Nichols had a somewhat notable and surprising win
over Carver Bible College.
Over Carver, yeah, we've got Carver. They should apply for membership in the Southland. Carver Bible College should. A league that's destined for the 16 line.
David, you know what Nichols did after they beat Carver Bible College on Friday? They beat Carver Bible College again on Saturday.
Oh my God.
Yes, they did. That's not a typo. They played them back to back nights.
Makes me upset because this is a league that I love and that we love, and it's been really strong historically. And they've
what are you talking about?
They've been, well, I mean, it's not very strong. It's been like
SFA days, yeah.
You know, the good Corpus Christi team. I love Northwestern State, especially the 06 team. New Orleans back from the dead. And they've just been the Southland now is is a bad guy in a Paul Verhoeven film. It's just getting blown away. just endless excess violence. Like, kids, stop. They need to stop taking teams out of the Southland, please. Right. There might be the worst league in the country now of the metrics. That's
arguably is. Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Hey, Nicholls State at TCU tomorrow night. Do we see an upset coming?
No.
Which way's the upset?
Yeah.
Zach, Monday night, Carver Bible at McNeese.
I'm actually upset. I like these schools. I really do. And they're just, they didn't go and try and expand and get schools that make no sense. You know, and they're just getting picked clean. It's not right. I support Northwestern State.
Oh,
let's get out. Let's get it. Let's go a little worse here. Let's go to the now 12 team SWAC with FAMU on the top. Did you ever think you'd see that? But Southern picked up a win at Tulane.
There is blue here, and this time of year for the SWAC and MEAC, getting blue here is legitimately a big accomplishment. Not as much for Florida A&M, if I'm honest, but that's a great win for Southern. It's a disastrous loss for Ron Hunter, but that I actually like that Tulane team. So I was very impressed that Southern went in there and did that.
Yeah, I think it's a two-horse race this year between Southern and Texas Southern. So,
Prairie View's been in there the last few years, so yeah. You can't count them out. You don't know anything about any of these schools until we get to
– you really don't.
Now, so Prairie View is actually playing as we record this. They're down double digits at Grand Canyon. So,
you know what you don't see here? For this
Carver league. Bible College.
Wait. I have a score update, though. As we record, this Texas Southern in the second half is up 4 at Air Force. So,
really? Oh, okay.
That would be a huge win for them.
Air Force is bad. Come on.
I know, but yeah, I have to remind myself that. But, Texas Southern's been the bellwether in this league for a while. And for the, if that's their first win, Jesus.
Then they get to go to BYU next week. You can figure out that one. Oh, and a game at NC State on Sunday, Texas Southern. So, we know how well NC State plays.
That's a lot of travel.
Air Force, NC State, BYU. Wow.
Somebody entered the schedule backwards there. That was not the order that should have been in.
The Summit League is coming up on the screen here, where we got Western Illinois after the 3-0 start. Only one D1 win, but it was at Nebraska, right?
Yeah, South Dakota State, real good team.
They're actually 3-1, not on the screen yet. They did beat Montana State tonight as well. So
yeah, I'm big on this South Dakota State team. I know that they had the loss at Alabama, but Alabama kind of opened that up in the latter part of the game. I mean, South Dakota State, I thought, played pretty well.
I was really impressed with them. They just went out there and just exchanged haymakers with Alabama, and with all the firepower they've got. And they left it all out there. It wasn't enough, obviously, but still, I was impressed to see how well South Dakota State was able to hang with one of the better teams in the SEC.
There's two other teams we've got to discuss here. First of all, down there, only 1-2, ninth place on the screen, but Kansas City, that one win, a blowout win at Mizzou. I mean, wow.
An indictment on Mizzou.
I'll tell you, it got Iowa's attention. It did not go as well when they played Iowa for the ruse. Yeah. And also, it's a good reminder that Denver is one of the best college hockey schools in the country.
we got to give a shout out to St. Thomas. The Tommies went across country, halfway across country, I guess, from Minnesota to Brooklyn, won at SFBK.
I didn't think they'd be within 20 points of a win all year. That actually is nice for them to see them get one.
And they only lost by 6 at Fordham.
Oh my God.
Fordham. Jesus. It makes sense in a way that SFBK was the those are the schools and Fordham, honestly, that they should be scheduling right now. Like, you don't got to go play Kansas yet. You got time. There are opportunities for wins. I don't think St. Thomas is any good, but it's really hard to go winless in Division I. It really is.
It really, it's hard to go from D3 to D1. Yeah, they're not phasing out D2 players. They're phasing out D3 players.
They're at Youngstown, and they got an event where they'll be playing both Niagara and SIU Edwardsville. So, you know, I think those are the teams they should be playing. I agree with you guys.
Niagara's very bad. That's a very winnable game.
No, it's not.
Circle Monday
not for night. A D3 team.
Circle Monday night, actually Monday and Tuesday, South Dakota State in their event is going to be playing Nevada and Washington back-to-back. So,
I'm pulling for the Tommies, by the way, but they're a D3. They're transitioning from D3. Oh, jeez.
Two more conferences. Let's get through these real quickly here. The Sun Belt, first of all, I got to give a shout out to Coastal Carolina. Not only have they only played one game, it was not even against a D1 team. They have not started their season yet. So congrats to Coastal Carolina for doing absolutely nothing. They should be number one in all the metrics. They've not played a D1 game. Georgia Southern, Little Rock, Louisiana, all undefeated. Georgia State's another team we like in this conference a lot, though. David, anything else on what you've actually seen from the results here, though?
No, I was kind of big on Georgia State. They got beat pretty bad the other night, but
by Richmond, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
The upcoming games here in the in the Sun Belt. If we can get the right screen to come up here, let's see here. We got Coastal finally playing a D1 game on Thursday night at Wilmington, but there's Georgia State gets William and Mary, and then either Howard or High Point. So we're not gonna really be able to test for Georgia State for a couple more weeks.
Yeah, it's gonna be a minute. Louisiana, another good team in this league, we think.
It's next last conference here was going to be our feature conference until Chicago State got blown out by Loyola. But let's go to Chicago State's conference, the WAC, where they are their fourth place on the screen.
They've won two D1 games. That's incredible.
One of them was St. Thomas, so was that really a D1 game? But they also beat SIU Edwardsville. So
yeah.
California Baptist off to a 3-0 start. Grand Canyon about to go to 3-0 with their win. They're winning tonight. New Mexico State.
Yeah, and Grand Canyon totally in reboot mode. I mean, it's just a complete roster overhaul. New Mexico State, I think, is the team in this conference that if anyone's going to be inside the bubble, it's them. It's just that they haven't been tested yet. Yeah,
well,
did have the win at UTEP, but UTEP's not very good.
Zach, if you asked me 2 weeks ago, I would have also said Seattle will be in contention here, but they had a little problem with having to fire their head coach. So
yeah, it wasn't really great for morale.
No, the entire team said they would no longer play for him, deservedly so from what he did. So use of language that should not be used.
Yeah, okay. And also I would like to point out that St. Thomas would smoke Tarleton.
Billy Gillespie's team. Come on.
Billy Gillespie is the coach.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I'm rooting for both of them. But also shout out to Utah Valley for one of my favorite opponents, Antelope Valley. Big win.
I'm still a fan of Carver Bible College.
I don't know if we see Carver Bible on this screen.
Which might be the upset of the year. The fact that the WAC doesn't have Carver Bible College all over.
At least not this week. They don't have Carver Bible, but we do not see them on there.
Paul Quinn at Tarleton. If you want to predict like a D1 team that is probably going to be an underdog in a game, that might be it.
Paul Quinn at Tarleton. We've got New Mexico State. You want to keep a look at them against Davidson, then either Penn or Utah State.
Yeah, that's a big turn.
And then possibly against Oklahoma or again, probably against Oklahoma actually in the championship game if they make it to the championship of that game, of that conference.
Which they should. Yeah.
So that's the team I'm looking at in this conference. I think we should do it. I think we should take one quick look at one other conference that's not really under the radar, but we make it under the radar. Let's check in on our updates for the overall records in the Front Range. No conference games yet, but great standing so far by the top of the Front Range conference.
Yeah. Oh, we love the Front Range.
Only Denver without a winning record here so far, Zach.
The Northern Colorado loss to Hawaii Hilo was so embarrassing. That and Denver ruined what would have been an absolutely spectacular Big East like week. Dominance all over the place. But you have Denver, it's a problem.
We do have a chance for a Front Range game in the finals of this event if Colorado and Colorado State end up playing each other on, I believe it would be on Monday's championship game. That would be our, I believe, our only Front Range game. Oh, no, Wednesday, Denver at Air Force, next Wednesday. There
Denver
you go.
At Air Force, we got a Front Range game.
Definitely guaranteed.
Fly out there with a trophy. Oh, yeah. God.
Let's run to our Under the Radar top 10 list. Zach did not submit for this. This is just me and David. We both submitted. Yeah, we got a lot of teams here. Let's start with our honorable mentions. You know what? I screwed up. But tied for 10th in place, we know is Chattanooga. We got James Madison, Hartford, UC San Diego, UC Davis, South Dakota State. Even Wagner getting a honorable mention vote there. But our 10th place tie is between Oakland and Chattanooga. And our 8th place tie is between Vermont and Iona. Going on up, we got 7th place at Furman. David?
What's that?
You had a comment on Furman?
Oh, well, no, just that I like Furman. I see them in the...
At 6th place came Buffalo, David. I know you're really big on them. A lot bigger than I was on them.
I like them and Ohio, who I'm assuming we'll see.
New Mexico State coming in at number 5. That's our favorite, my favorite out of the whack, at least. There's UAB... Conference USA at 4th place. Number 3 is Ohio U. There's that Ohio team coming in. The top 2 shouldn't be any surprise. Loyola Chicago and Drake.
Yeah.
So that is our under the radar top 10 for this week. You know, we see a few honorable mentions there of note, like UC Davis and Wagner. So, hey, a few teams getting some attention. But so
Chicago State loses one game, and this is the district.
They would have been number 1 on the list until that loss. Absolutely. On that note, let me go ahead and pull this down here. Let me run through both of you for any other final thoughts. Zach, you want to start us off?
Yeah, just basically, it's fun to have this time of year be what it is, what we love so much again. Feast week, busy, a lot of exempt tournaments, so to speak. Getting all those events back, getting them, you know, neutral site events with fans in the building, and the chance to really help out these leagues. You know, when we lose non-conference play last year, it's one thing when like the ACC doesn't want to do non-conference or the Big East, but when you're one of these under the radar conferences, it can be devastating because you have really very little chance in that large bit. And it's been great to see these leagues interacting with one another on the court again. And we'll get to see a lot of, you know, in the coming week. And it's great to see the smaller events, you know, as much I'm pumped for, you know, the Paradise Battle for Atlantis, Paradise Jam, Maui and all that. But it's just as valuable, these smaller events, because you get kind of a better feel for the sport as a whole when you get to see the middle levels of these leagues go against one another. And you can actually establish some stark differences because it can be really hard. Like, I don't know, what's the difference between the MAC and the Big West? Like, you know, how the hell do you measure that? Well, the way you do it is when the leagues go against one another. So it'd be a fun time to be with family. I wish everyone happy and healthy Thanksgiving. And you need to inform your family that, yes, you actually do care more about the Missouri State Eastern Illinois game than talking to Uncle Fred. It is more.
Yes. And what I like about these tournaments is that without them, I might actually have to talk to my family.
No, disgusting. Life's too short.
Okay, gotta have your priorities. Gotta have your priorities. David, you want to finish this off?
Yeah, yes. I Carver Bible College is becoming there are other teams that we have loved. Toccoa Falls. Open Bible. Open Bible may be the greatest thing ever. For those of you that don't know, I think they played 14, 15 D1 games one year, and the NCAA like looked into that to see if they met the criteria for being what needs to be a countable opponent. They weren't an it's NCAA cool. member, but were they still a countable opponent? It was discovered that I think the phrase that I heard was basically it was a laptop sitting on a table. That was the institution. So I don't know. Carver Bible College, like, I don't want to accuse it of not being a real institution. It probably is. But they have replaced Toccoa Falls as our favorite team.
Absolutely, they have. we will probably talk about them more. I think they got a lot of games. I think we count 19 D1 games they're playing, which is the full schedule for some schools. But I do at this time want to take a chance to thank everybody for joining us. On behalf of Zach down there, lying down on the court, is I hope that dog is breathing
tired.
Still.
Tired. Okay. And try watching LIU.
And David Griggs over here. I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again real soon.